I want to tell you something. There was supposed to be a camera crew down here to come down. What happened was they started Sunday, and it took to tonight, 5 o'clock. They couldn't get, they had their credentials to come over, and but they were coming down with their vehicle, and they're stopped at the border. A couple of the individuals coming over here were Arabic, and they were stopped. I guess they looked at, I guess, the typical terrorist look, you might say. But they're good men. And I've been working with them for a year and a half, and they were stopped. And they held them there for 5.5 hours on the border of Canada. And then they sent them back so they could get proper permits because of the camera equipment. It's like $100,000 worth of camera equipment, 5 guys. And they said they couldn't come over until they went back. They had to get bonded and whatever you needed from the magistrate or judge to come back over. And they said, we can't make it down here on time, so they're going to come in tomorrow. And so that's, or you guys would have all been on film. So that I apologize for, but I understand the reasoning because of, you know, everything that's going on in the world. But a camera? All right. Now I'm going to read you, but tonight I brought some people down to read, and they were going to film them, so I'm going to let them read tonight. My one fighter couldn't make it tonight, and if you want to read his poem, you can read it. I'm not going to. It's better. You can read it. Yeah, you read it. All right. What we're going to do here now? If this goes too long, does anybody want to take a pee break or anything?
Yeah.
Yeah, take a pee break. Well, is everybody going to go pee? Just me, right? Go on, run to the... Come on, you know what? Take a pee break. Come on, 5 minutes. Well, a couple of these girls got to take a pee break. I could tell they had that look. Do you ever get that look when you... Like, I understand that look. This is all right. This is cool. I don't know. Anybody want to read a poem while we're sitting here? Go ahead. I could tell they had that pee break look on their face. We usually don't do that, except we're going a little longer tonight. Take a 5-minute break and everybody go pee. Go ahead. Everybody, 5-minute break. Oh, man. She did tell me about you.
Okay.
All right, we're going to get rocking right here. Let's go. Here we go. The other reason I let everybody run to the door, so that's good. All right. One of the reasons we're putting this together here and that my friends are reading is because we want to do it's called a sizzler. And we want to take it to, I have a chance of getting it with Esquire TV, or I told they would walk it to Showtime for me. I don't know if they will or won't. But we're going to try. I don't think sometimes poets give themselves, you read your words, you're all wordsmiths, every one of you. But I think also poetry should also be performed. I think that you should... I was going to bring a dancer tonight, and I've done that, but this was a special dancer, but I figured out not enough room here. But I think, so we're going to try to kind of perform this a little bit. If we go a little longer than I was supposed to, I apologize for that, but I do want to get this at least on tape, and then whatever else we do. I'm going to run right through it. This is going to be from the Secret Society of Dog. My nickname was Dog, and this new manuscript is right there. It's like lifted up there. That's that big. It's a big book. This thing, that opus, that thing, that is called Poems Done Doggy Style, and I actually have like about 20 some of those like that. And my colors, okay, are black for the dark, the unknown, and I wore these when I worked narcotics, and I had my dog Paul. And some of you may have heard this before, but I'll tell you now, if you have not. Black for the unknown, for what I never knew was behind that door. Okay. The white paw print was my mark, because they called me the dog, and I wanted my heart always to stay pure. I never wanted to lose sight of that. Okay. And the red was from the blood of the broken hearts. And that's hard to describe unless you've been there. It's I guess if you worked in an emergency room, you would understand that, or you've done. Everybody has had that type of. You've touched the pulse, but that's the reason for the colors. Now, I tell all my boxers, real isn't how you are made; it's how you become. It doesn't often happen to people who break easily, or have to be carefully kept. Comes from the Velveteen Rabbit. You have to be carefully. Poets, if you have to be carefully kept, then write something else, do something else. Because poets, you're going to get knocked in your head sometimes and kicked in your ass maybe. And it doesn't always feel good, but it's okay. And Sandberg said, "Truth is the most elusive captive in the universe," from the Chicago poems. This is what my foundation is. My life is this truth. You can't lie. You can lie to everybody. You can't lie to yourself. And I love this. I've always suffered from hubris. I've had large injections. It should have been shot. I shot it my whole life like someone would shoot heroin. Hubris. But from Milton, Paradise Lost, first pride. Then ambition tossed me down. I said, oh, that's me. Every time I thought I was there, every time I thought I was going to get accommodation, they handed me a reprimand. It was a kick in the ass. Secret Society of Dog. How can I tell what the society is any more than Whitman could tell the boy what is the grass? I have been kissed by the sun many days, have grown old and tired, the cosmos is large, stealing just one line from Federico Garcia Lorca. But like love, the archers are blind. Asking myself, what in the hell do he mean? What the hell does this mean? For that matter, what in the hell does any of this mean? I have outlived the Black Plague, or should I steal from Pablo Neruda? He who walks around taking everything, ode to salt, ode to the tomato, ode to bird watching, ode to his shoes, ode to his suit, ode to the onion, piss, making me pissed, thinking, I'll write ode to my balls. Ode to my ass, Pablo, ode to my ass. How can I tell the woman of the society? How can I tell anyone of the secrets of the society? How can I tell anyone of the secret society of dog? Tell them of the man that rigged the shotgun trap that killed a burglar over 30 years ago, how the shotgun went off and cut the man in two. Should I tell anyone of how the burglar bled out on a dirty wooden porch on a hot July day so many years ago? The man that rigged the shotgun was old, and if it matters to anyone, his name was Sylvester Shaw, and he was a black man, like the cool dust in the lungs of those condemned to the mines. Should I tell her that I have coughed the color black for the unknown, just like the dark walked down some rat alley, having smelled rats so often? You cannot forget the color black, or tell them of the red, and how the words bled like so many words for no reason, bled just like the little girl at McDonald's for no other reason that she was just scared, how she died from a bullet to the heart. And if it matters to anyone that screams for the right to bear arms, the caliber that killed her was .25. Red like the blood spilled from Carter's head, having been struck by a Louisville slugger, crack on the back of the head, home run, milk from a coconut, white print from the dog paw. maybe, just maybe, so that truth should always be told and lived like Whitman's graphs or Lorca's arrow, truth pure as poem or clouds or bright sun. When you stare too long, daring your own blindness, it doesn't matter if you steal another man's thunder. Who really cares? Having been a theft of thunder more than once, I enjoy the rumbling of the dark clouds and the crash of lightning. So I say loudly, I stole the man's thunder that shook the earth and made the man cry, having been unable to protect his own gift of thunder. And with that, Patrick Jordan.
Impossible to follow that man's words and voice, but here's some more of his words. First Arrest by Jimmy. I remember my first arrest. Smith boy for stealing a tape deck from a car. Him and the Utenbach kid. I just graduated from the police academy, everything shiny and new, and I kept bumping into things with the Smokey the Bear hat I was wearing. Every time I got in or out of the car, I'd knock my hat off. And the leather chin strap gave me a rash, but I knew I was pretty. And the ladies just loved you. And the way I strutted, I could have hung my hat on my manly. Anyway, I grabbed the Smith boy. He was about 13 years old, blonde hair, blue eyes. Kind of the kind of kid you could place under a Christmas tree at church. The kind of kid that sings at midnight mass. The kind of kid, when I grabbed him, he was crying scared. I was holding him by his belt from behind. I was scared. Having never made an arrest before, I knocked my hat off the same time I was reading him his rights. I should have seen, but I didn't see. Couldn't see. He was just 13. Reminded me of a choir boy. An angel you place next to a nativity scene. Blonde straw hair. Corn silk blown in the wind. Blue eyes crying. Juvenile lockup gave him a break. He died a year and a half later. Never made 15. Overdose of the street. I'll always remember his face and the things I couldn't see. Things that are never seen. Fate. And he will be forever young.
This is called Warning to Young Officers. Sometimes you gotta just shoot a poem into your arm. Verb, noun, sound, metaphors, rhyme, beat, affix, need of the rush. A sax crying in a smoky bar, stirring a walnut brandy, looking into the bar mirror, remembering. Becoming a note of the sad horn, hunting for a vein, spiking the arm. Earlier that day, having met two young officers, wide-eyed, young of oath, not yet hearing the hiss, let alone seeing the fangs. And if you could tell them run, run away fast, run to the mountains, hide in a cave, live on berries and nuts, awake with the morning song of the sun, hurry, before it's too late, run to the ocean. Spend your life walking in the sand and feel the caress of the salt wind. Feel the song of the gulls, but run away, young officers, run. Your eyes will see much over the years. No matter how much the buttons line straight, no matter how much you part your hair, no matter the polish of the badge, your eyes will find pain. You will see broken people. Hear the unspeakable. There will be less reason than reason itself. Your heart will pound. You will find fear, wounds of courage, justice shadowed by the unjust, darkness where few will follow. You will one day have to pick up the broken pieces. You will find God's cloak, and sometimes you will lose your grip on God, your soul asking why. Again, why? My God, why? But in truth, I know you'll stay, as so many before you have stayed. years will turn and tatter. But in times, perhaps, you will come to terms with honor. But the rub, you've been warned, and the choice was yours. The irony of the lie, to call it fate. As for the broken pieces that you have gathered, keep them. They belong to you.
This one's called Dying Man. We grabbed him, 6 bags of heroin, a pocket full of money. He was with another guy, we think a homo. We arrested him for the dope, sent his boyfriend packing. We decided to take him for the collar. Can see he's sick. The color of paste yellow. We cuff him in front. He tells us, I'm sick. I got hepo, A, B, C, and D, and HIV. My lungs are bleeding. He starts crying, I just want to die. We take him to the car. He starts vomiting, heaving. He falls to the ground, spit down his chin, his chest, tears falling into the cuffs. Just let me die. He falls on the cement, starts to pound his head. He coughs a big ball of phlegm, coughing, gagging, wiping his mouth with his hands into the cuffs. Ike Yike said, we should take a picture of this to show to the kids. You want to use drugs, kids? Look what it'll get you, lying on the sidewalk, throwing up your guts, crying in the rain, A, B, C, and D, and HIV, and your own puke, and no one wants to touch you. Ike Yike snaps on rubber gloves and takes the cuffs off. We called an ambulance. They come and stand in the rain, take a report. They refuse to touch him. They leave quick as they arrived. We yell, now what do you do with a dying man? As they drove away, take him to jail? We didn't take him to jail. Instead, we turned him over to his sister. She is also dying of HIV, positive. And her lungs are bleeding. I go home. I strip butt naked on the porch, take a hot shower, and brush my teeth with alcohol. I say a prayer in my head, wishing I was a horse. God, I wish we were all horses. Thinking when I was young and everyone could be a horse. Thinking that man, that man is going to die alone. It just doesn't seem right. God, even horses shouldn't die alone. I spit the alcohol into the sink and wipe my face clean.
My young boxer couldn't make it tonight. So I'm going to read the poem I was going to have him read. He did rehearse it. 13 ways looking at a boxer. Like blackbirds, I knew them all among the sound of skipping rope and the swivel of the speed bag. One, they had shot Deedle in the chest and he died in the dirty hall of the building that housed the poor, his mother cried. Two, we were of three minds, Charlie, the judge, and his lawyer, and I forgot the boy that was beaten to death, his head crushed with a cement block. Three. It was Sunday after a Steeler game, and Andre went to the Ace Ducey bar. He bumped into a man who waited outside and later shot Andre in the throat and one through and through the heart for extra measure. Four. A man is sometimes one with his earth. Scooter shot a 17-year-old boy in the back of the head. He called it self-defense, and he is serving time in a state pen. Five, beauty of inflection or innuendos. Lorenzo beat his grandmother to death with a baseball bat. His lawyer tried to say it was because he was punch drunk. Six, trace anything you want in the shadows, like Mike took a tire iron to a guy. Seven, Johnny never looked for the images of golden birds. He was there when they shot the guy 4 times in his gut. says he was just at the wrong place at the wrong time, like blackbirds at your feet. 8. Lucid and inescapable rhymes, Joe was picked as the outstanding boxer of the gloves. And later that night, he killed a boy because he came up short with the crack money. 9. Ray, he shot a boy in the head on a baseball field. 100 spectators, and nobody saw nothing as the blackbirds flew out of sight. 10. Bawds of euphony crying sharply. 1. The champ was shot by a cop. 2. He later shot the girl and the bullet fell out into her bra. 3. He was also there when his best friend stabbed a guy to death, calling it self-defense. But I know the truth. It was because of re-rocking cocaine. 11. Fear piercing. Sir John is serving time for heroin. The street says he has 2 bodies under his belt, and for revenge, they shot his mother in the back. 12. River is moving. Johnny's son overdosed next to a fat whore. She stole his money. The dope man still sells drugs. 13. It was evening, far into the afternoon. I remember Donnie shooting himself in the throat, in the heart. I caught his body while Brother Grew tried to stop the bleeding. The sound of the swivel bag and skipping rope is deafening as the blackbirds fly.
All right, this is a little change of pace. This is called I Bought the Whole Whorehouse. And I believe it's a true story. I was more lucky than good when I worked Vice. Took risks in spite of pimps and crazy whores and AIDS. I found a massage parlor in the Strip District, a tip from a street whore. Her name was Spike, and she claimed it was hurting her honest business. I even think them highfalutin whores use a credit card. An honest woman can't make an honest buck. They all think they're lace curtain because they got a roof over their head. They ain't no better than me or you. They think they're princesses because they spread their ass on silk. Silk sheets can't wipe the sin off your dirty ass. No matter how smooth the silk, no matter how hard you rub. She handed me the phone number, and with a kiss on the cheek and a pat on the ass, we both wished good luck. I called the lace curtain whorehouse, and a woman answered. She said, "Come to the back door, you'll see a blue light." She told me, "Knock 5 times, and then 3 times, and then 5 times again. Tell them Birdsong sent you. Come along. Your date is 10:30. Don't be early. Don't be late. Come alone." I thanked her, and then I told the plan to my sergeant, who happened to be a woman. I said, "Sergeant, I'm going to hit a whorehouse tonight. I need about $1,500. She didn't like giving me the money, and she didn't like me going to whorehouses because I knew she thinks I enjoy the work too much. She said, "All right, but if you screw up literally or figuratively, you'll be doing a ton of paper. Don't lose the money." I said, "Cross my heart on, Sarge. It's not an adventure. It's a job." A team of 10 detectives met because they all like to go to whorehouses, and it beats the hell out of looking up some guy's ass for heroin. Mikey Mike counted the money. "Dog, you'll have all the fun." I said, "I can't wait till I get naked." We went to the Strip District. I walked to the door. There was a blue light reflecting off the garbage cans. And I thought, odd. They once used red lights. Times have changed over the years. I guess the blue light was less threatening and softer to the mood. I knocked 5 times, and then 3 times, and then 5. I could tell someone was looking at me from the peephole, and the door swung open. There in the doorway, blocking out all light, was the big oaf. He looked like he should be driving a cement truck across the country. His deep voice scared the shit out of me. "What do you want?" I said, "I have a date." "Who sent you?" "Birdsong." "Second floor, make a left, 3rd door." Stepping aside to let me pass, he spun me around against the wall and patted me down. He pinched my ass and laughed. "Okay, you can go up now." I walked the steps in the long hall, and I wasn't sure if I liked his pinch or not. I feel like I had been violated, but wasn't really sure. I knocked on the door, and a beautiful platinum blonde answered with the softest voice, "I'm Birdsong." I walked in. She told me to sit down. She asked, "Would you like a glass of wine?" I said, "No, but I could use a root beer if you got one." She said, "How about a ginger ale?" "Why not?" The place was lace curtain and decked with white plastic chairs and red cushions, candlelight, soft music, and on the wall hung a felt picture of a matador stabbing a bull. She came in with a glass of ginger ale, and another woman followed her, a redhead with hair to her bare shoulders. She was wearing red silk and lace, a see-through everything. I could see her nipples and the V of her mound. "My name is Scarlet. I think my tongue came out. I may have even panted like a dog." "Look at you," she said, grabbing my crotch. "Look at yourself." Then Birdsong said, "Did you bring the money?" I said, "More than enough." She said, $2.50 for 15 minutes, $3.25 for half an hour. "What do you want?" I said, "Both of you for a half an hour, and if your hips bang good, I'll tip real good." I counted the money, and both of the women dropped out of their lace, and Birdsong grabbed my hand. Scarlet grabbed my crank. As we were walking down towards Desire, another woman came down the hall. She was naked and had nice tits, blonde hair that hung down like she was a flower child walking around the fields of Woodstock. I stopped. "Look at my lucky find," Scarlet said. "Do you want her?" I said, "Yes, I want her. And you?" "I want all three of you." I counted out another 300. She said, "My name is Eve." I said, "Glad to meet you, Eve." We went into a room with a black light. The next thing, all three women started to kiss me and started to take off my shirt and picked me up and threw me up on a table and pulled off my socks, my shoes, my pants in one clean sweep. We were all naked and everybody started to kiss and pinch and poke. It was wonderful. I felt like you could hang a pirate flag from my pole and a cat couldn't scratch it. I was diamond cutter hard, and then the girls started to tongue each other and then sticking their tongues in my ears and mouth, biting my nipples, pinching, and I said, "Slow down, girls, I'll pay for an hour." Then they started to hump my leg and everything was hot and wet. And Birdsong was kissing Eve, and Scarlet was kissing me, and I was kissing Birdsong, and Eve was kissing me, and I then lined all three of the women up shoulder to shoulder, and they pressed their tits together. Eve's were the size of a sun-kissed orange. Scarlet's were like a grapefruit. Songbird's were tits were big, like the size of a small honeydew. And then I started to pretend they were six speed bags in the boxing gym, and I started to go bump da da bump da da bump da da bump bump da da bump da da bump. The girls giggled, and then I spun them around, and what perfect asses, three plump rumps, and I slapped them like I was playing the bongos. And then they started to kiss really hard, and I was getting hot, and Eve said, "Do you want to see more?" And I said, "Uh-huh." And then she said, "I'm on the bottom," and jumped her plump up onto the table, and then Eve jumped up on her, and they all started to muff dive. Scarlet then leaned over and started to play with herself and spun her rump around to me and stuck my rod between her legs, and I said, "Oh, well, hold on a minute. I want to look." And then I bent down and I looked where Birdsong had her tongue, because I never saw anything like this before, and I wanted to see exactly where she was having lunch. And then I went to the other end of the table and looked up, and Eve was licking just like she was eating an ice cream cone. And I thought, so that's how you do it. And then Scarlet came around and started to lick me, and her hot lips opened me, almost made my balls explode. And then I figured I'd seen enough, and started to get dressed and hit my agent alert. And within 10 seconds, 10 detectives were everywhere. And the girls were running for their clothes. Eve peed on the floor. The sergeant came up to me. "You sure took long enough." And I said, "Love takes a long time, but passion takes longer." I felt sorry for the girls. Eve had just gotten married and did part-time job for extra money. Birdsong was a second grade school teacher, and Scarlet worked at a bank. The oaf was just an oaf. I stood and took a group picture with the three beautiful women, and they were all crying. I said, "Relax, girls, you'll all go home tonight, except for the oaf. There's a bench warrant for you and peeping in windows." I felt like I had the Stockholm syndrome. I fell in love with the villains. I gave each of the ladies a break at night court, and we closed the house. I ran into Spike about a week later, and she thanked me. Do you want a blowjob? I said, no, no, not tonight. I have a headache. She said, you got one in the house? I said, when I'm lonely. When the sergeant got my report, she said, you enjoy your work too much. And don't you think you were going a bit far? I said, just to the point of beyond a reasonable doubt. But Sarge, if you want to get naked with me next time, you can come along. She said, I don't think so. I said, even if I promise not to stick it in? She said, get out of my office. I said, aye, aye, sir. Aye, aye, ma'am.
Me and Tripper were having dinner. He ordered a grease burger. I ordered broccoli. I said, you know what really drives me crazy? He said,
what?
I said, huh? He said,
what?
I said, eh? He said,
what?
I said, what? He said,
pass the salt.
I said, it's not your fault.
Huh?
He said,
he?
I said, what? He said,
huh?
I said, eh? He said,
time's changed. You kiss a girl, you get the herpes.
I said, you need a new hairpiece? He said, I said, eh? He said,
sometimes I go to take a crap, can only fart.
I said, something's wrong with your heart? Mine too. I take too many pills. He said,
we all gotta pay bills.
I said, what? He said,
my old man went deaf when he was 40.
I said, no, I don't know what the hell happened to Shorty. I think he died. Somebody said he got hit by a train. He said,
when I get up in the morning, I got pain. My head, my back, my ass hurts.
I said, head? If I'm lucky if the old lady lets me touch it. He said,
what?
I said, what, do you think it's going to rain? He said,
huh?
I said, wait till she falls asleep and try to sneak her. He said,
what happened to Shorty?
I said, huh? He said,
he got the herpes.
I said, he lost all his hair and got a cheap hairpiece? He said,
who?
I said, no kidding, Shorty got herpes? It's a damn shame. He said,
guess he was kissing the wrong dame.
I said, hey. He said,
hey.
I said, shame Shorty's going bald. He said,
Shorty's getting tall?
I say, you're right. He only has himself to blame. He says,
how's your old lady doing?
I say, once in a while it goes boing. He says,
yeah.
I tell him, it drives women crazy. He says,
what?
I say, hey. Waitress comes over. You boys want some more coffee? We both say,
hey.
We pour some. She pours some more coffee and says,
and meet my granddaughter. I'll leave the tip.
I said, nice tits. He said,
all right, I'll leave the tip.
I said, hey. He said,
drives them insane.
I said, you're right. We better hurry. It looks like it's going to rain.
That's pretty good. Thank you. That was to my friend. These shirts are the troopers wrote on to my friend Eddie Luke. He was my partner. He died a couple months ago from cancer. We were very close. And so when we'd go out on a rape or a homicide, we'd get, always happens at 3:30 in the morning, and he would say, the troopers wrote on. And I'd say, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of But we had this beautiful, and he was always, of course, telling me the same thing, to shut up. But it's hard to tell you, it's not like 48 hours. Never has been. You see that on TV, you see a half hour. It's hard to explain it to you. You're out there 48 hours. Your hands on the pulse, you over and over, what did I miss? When you go to a crime scene, what did I do? You see them. I used to buy ties. I would take like 4 hours to buy one tie, thinking of a homicide case. What did I miss? What did I see? And that's what you think. You go to a restaurant and you play with salt shakers trying to remember. Okay, it was over here. What did I miss? I missed something. Was something I missed? And then you have these things. You will never understand the weight. Little Amber died. I picked her up. It was the heaviest I ever had in my life. It's hard to describe that. And then this, oh, you killed this. You did this. My friend, Opie, we'll just leave it at Opie. He's going to come up and explain to you the next poem I wrote. He's my friend, and I wrote this poem, but he's going to tell you about the case. Oh, come on up here. Bob Open there.
Thanks, Jimmy. This next poem that Jimmy wrote is about a homicide I investigated in February of 2007. And the victim in that case was a 23-month-old child. It was not your typical homicide. The family had reported her missing the night before, saying that she had walked out of the house or that somebody had taken the baby out of the house. Through the investigation, we finally learned that it was actually her father who had committed the homicide. And the reason for committing the homicide was that he had sexually assaulted her. So he wanted to cover up that crime and make it look like that she was either abducted or walked out of the house. It was February. It was actually my wife's birthday that I got called out. And those are the kind of things you miss as a detective. You get called out, you miss these events. That was on February 3rd. We finally found her in a vacant playground, abandoned playground in Rankin. And the first thing that we saw was this blue blanket that was in the house that the mother of the baby had said, the blue blanket's missing. We've got to find her. Somebody took her in the blue blanket. Well, then the next thing we saw were footprints in the snow. And we followed those footprints, and we eventually found her with nothing but a sweater on, no pants, no diaper, no shoes, and she froze to death. So that's what this poem's about, and I really appreciate Jimmy for writing it. So thank you.
Little Feet. Nia, what a beautiful name. Maybe it means river or grace, friendly or full moon. Maybe it means small flower or beautiful voice, just maybe. There is an innocence in the name Nia, blocks with red and green letters, blue numbers and toy drums and stuff warm pink teddy bears and crayons, stuff purple giraffes, red and blue beach balls and yellow ducks, pink baby brush, soft pink blanket, and Nia was just cutting teeth. February, and it's bitter cold and ice and the earth is frozen. A terrible person hurt Nia and took her to the woods. I called the detective after reading the paper how the terrible human was sentenced to life with no parole. I told the detective it was 7 degrees and he left Nia out to freeze. Detective said Nia was only 2 years old and when we found her, she had frozen and she had walked around in a circle. Then she just collapsed and went to sleep. I told him, it's one of those cases that you carry with you the rest of your life. Your eyes will stare into the blank thoughts of silence, and you'll hear your own heart pounding. You'll pause, and you'll shake your head, unable to understand. In the middle of the night, you will count Nia's small footsteps in the snow. And you will die a little bit. And you will feel the winter days on your soul like the February ice. He said she was just a little girl. Nia maybe means friend of the people, or God's loneliness, or freedom, or roaring lion, light or pearl. Maybe Nia means one that walks with angels. I said, that's why you took the oath. Wish I knew the answer, but there are no answers for a two-year-old little girl that freezes alone. It's just the way of evil. He said, I'll talk to you later. I hung up the phone and thought, too many sleepless nights. I hope there's a special place in heaven for the little girl, and I bet the name Nia means child of God, or blessing, or truthful, fire, or maybe beautiful eyes. This is the society of dog, black for the unknown, white for the purity, red for the blood, black for the unknown, white for the purity. And yes, I stole from Frederico and Pablo, and I will tell the little boy, Walt, a blade of grass is softness under the foot of the dog. Thank you very much. My thank you, David Conrad. Let's hear it for him, David. Pat Jordan. Thank you. And my friend Opie. Thank you. And audience, I'd like to thank all of you because you made me feel welcome and happy. And we'll take a short, and the great poets at Red Knight, take a short break and we'll do our little signing.